Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey friends, as Sudo figures things out, welcome inside an all-new edition, live of Game Runs Deep, with me, Ben Garrett of the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On3, and Sudo Upadeya, a multimedia whiz, a wonder kid of broadcast, podcast, all the casts. It's Sudo Upadeya, and I still don't know if I figured out the lighting in the revamped Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch. I'm working on that. But things currently are what they are, and I can't make my pale skin look any better. So, Sudo, welcome to a live edition. As you figure this out, have I vamped enough for you?
Yeah. I'm just crafting our tweet to let the people know we're giving you an extra episode of Game Runs Deep.
Yep.
Live right now.
Because Ole Miss is number 6 in the country in the college football playoff rankings.
No, they're not.
10-1.
No way.
Yeah, I know. That's what we're talking about, though, right? Right. That's what you wanted to do a second show about, correct?
I would love for that to be the case, Ben. It would be magnificent if that was the case. But alas, it is not. But yes,
alas.
I love that word, by the way. Alas.
I know, I start saying that
a lot more. But what's up, folks? Yeah, as Benny said, we decided to do an extra episode this week, given the constant changing nature of the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes. Ben and I sat here on Monday, as many of you joined us, and we told you, and really Ben's information, not necessarily mine. I hear things. Ben knows people. There's a difference.
Oh,
and the thinking at the time was, this is between Florida and Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. LSU, while they would like to be in it, maybe can't get in it. And then literally within that night and the next day, Ben, the momentum completely shifted in favor of LSU. And I haven't even spoken to you since then. So where do we stand in all this right now? If Lane Kiffin were to leave, who is the favorite right now? Because we created a firestorm on TikTok, man. These LSU fans are pissed that they weren't even in it. And now, I mean, obviously, based on the information you have, they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, on Tuesday, on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, foot of 1-3, sign up today for just $1, sponsored by Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. B&A Bank, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, for all your Medicare and healthcare needs, holler at my guy. And on Tuesday, I said that I think it's more likely than not that Lane is leaving than staying, and if you made me guess who the main contender is for that, it would be LSU. So this stuff changes, and I think by now, what is it, Thursday,
yeah,
November 20th, 2025, I think that it's that LSU still is very much the principal threat to poach Lane Kiffin from Ole Miss. Florida is in it, but it's taking a turn in that way. And last night on the Ole Miss Spirit, I updated my revised predictions for where I think this is headed. And right now, I think if you made me guess that Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss, mainly because the timeline is so messy and there's no way for him to leave for LSU without looking like a dick. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, because again, no one knows. Even Lane Kiffin doesn't know what he wants to do. What we do know for an absolute fact, and if the SEC teleconference told us anything yesterday, man, he has been given every opportunity to end this stuff, and he's intentionally chosen not to, man. So
yeah.
And really, it could have been solved by something as simple as, hey, I'm focused on Ole Miss and winning this team in this season. If other teams want to come talk to me and all this kind of stuff, it's year to year now. We'll see you after the season. That would have eliminated a lot of options for them, though, because like Florida and LSU and others, they don't want to wait. Virginia Tech's already hired James Franklin. The national signing day, first of two national signing days, signing periods for high school players, opens in 2 weeks. The transfer portal opens in mid-January. Ole Miss could be playing a playoff game as late as December 20th. So it's not just Ole Miss that wants to know something. It's LSU in Florida as well. And LSU's been the one that said, we'll give you whatever. give you whatever you want. And that's the thing, talking to LSU sourcing, because I don't pretend to have like a bunch of LSU sourcing, but I got some guys that I know. Right. And I really just wanted to know who was number two. And I think right now at LSU, Eli Drinkwitz is number two from Missouri, and he's already interviewed multiple times. And Drink's going to move. Drink's going to go to I predicted in my revised predictions on the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, Philadelphia 1-3, do what now? Sign up for a dollar.
Sign up for a dollar.
$1. I had Lane Kiffin staying at Ole Miss, Eli Drinkwitz going to one of LSU or Florida. If he goes to Florida, not LSU, I don't know what LSU really does, man. I mean, I think they take a huge swing. They're swinging big. They've talked to Marcus Freeman, reached out to him.
Yeah.
I think there's real, there's legitimate smoke to some feeling out process of Lincoln Riley. But if it's not Kiffin or Drink, it's hard for me to identify.
What would you say changed the most, Ben, between Monday to now for LSU? Was it the trip that Kiffin's family took to Baton Rouge? Like, what do you think was the biggest difference between, okay, Florida will be the school he leaves for to, okay, now it's LSU if he doesn't stay at Ole Miss?
It's a legitimate question, and one that I think everybody in our respective beats or our respective corners of the Ole Miss beat, if you're talking about me and Chuck or Chase and Neil, I think what's really changed is I was told by an Ole Miss assistant last week that it wasn't Florida, it was LSU that y'all should be paying attention to which I was like, really though? And then on Monday, when after the Baton Rouge tour, you know, with Layla and Angela Kiffin and really a lot of Angela's kids, because they're really young and they toured schools and stuff.
Angela's Chris's wife?
Yes. And because Chris would go with him. Now, I've heard varying things. I think ideally Lane would like – because, like, Pete Golding wouldn't go with Lane to LSU.
Sure.
He's not going with him anywhere. And neither is Brian Brown, best I can tell. But Pete, I know, isn't going with him. He's told him twice that he's not going with him. So now if Kiffin were to leave for LSU and Pete were to be passed over – for that head coaching opportunity, I wonder how much that would change. I don't think it really would. I think Pete would be the DC for. Have we disconnected?
Ben here. Ben, can you
hear
me? Am
I disconnected? Yes, I'm wide open, baby. I can still hear you. I can still talk to you.
Benjamin
says I'm trying to reconnect. Can you still hear me, sir?
Chat. Do we have Ben on your end? I think I might have lost him on my end.
I'm going to drop out and come back in. Would that work for you?
There he is. He's back.
What happened? I was just talking. Nothing happened.
I don't know, dude.
That was crazy, bro.
I was updating our YouTube description, and you just stopped talking. I was like, wait a second.
That's crazy, because I was just talking away. You were still sounding good. On my side, it looked good. So I don't know how much you missed of that, but, you know, like on Friday, I was told by an Ole Miss assistant that LSU was the real threat. Then the Baton Rouge tour happened with Layla and Angela and some of their kids. Angela's got – you know, more younger kids. So, like, the whole living in Baton Rouge and what the school systems would look like, it's a different conversation than with Knox, who was in Gainesville touring potential high schools to transfer to from Oxford High in the middle of an Oxford High School playoff chase, bro. I mean, it's wild.
It's my alma mater, Ben. Yeah. You know? This is affecting both my high school and my university, brother.
I know.
This is crazy.
Somebody said, no, Ben is frozen. Oh, Sawyer did. I know, man. I'm sorry. It's probably my crappy internet here in the Albany Riverland roof. It's never happened before. Always new things popping up on Game Runs Deep. Do we have Brandon Tyler? Do we have any info on the NIL donation? How big of an impact it's going to be? I asked Walker Jones specifically about that the other day. Just said there'd been like an increase the last few days throughout this process? He said, yes, we've seen a steady increase over the last 45 days in new memberships and overall giving. We are extremely competitive when you talk about our funding, operation, and efficiency of contracting with student athletes. When it comes to our competition in the SEC, we have the resources to compete year in and year out for championships. And I know for Ole Miss, like, one of the biggest things is like, Lane, if he were to leave to go to LSU, wants to take Billy Glasscock, Ole Miss GM, with him. Well, Ole Miss has already made it very crystal clear. The spreadsheet, and what I mean by the spreadsheet is roster procurement and roster and budget allocation for roster moves and stuff like that, that belongs to Ole Miss. Ole Miss has said, you're not going to get our operation if you go somewhere else. And that's a big consideration for this. But what's really changed, I think, is LSU was always more real than some of us were willing to give it credit for.
Yeah,
and now they're pushing, like Ole Miss is, to know something. I don't know how long LSU would wait either. Like, a lot of the John Summerall stuff yesterday, it was bizarre. On Three, the company I work for, puts out that he's interviewing with Florida. Then John Summerall comes out and tells Pete Nakos, also of On Three, the national coaching search guy, he's not interviewing with Florida. He's taking his name out of consideration. All I've heard about John Summerall is that Ole Miss has already back-channeled John Summerall. There's been active dialogue that he's waiting to see resolution here because I think he prefers, at least in my conversations, and I know some Auburn, especially, people disagree with this, but I can just give you what people tell me. And they say that he prefers Ole Miss to Auburn, and he wants to see some resolution there before he makes some type of decision. But all that's really changed is that Lane continues to leave it open-ended completely.
I will say, though, like, respect finally to – and I'm not, like, one of these people that gets mad at the Ole Miss beat, you know, for not asking tough enough questions. Like, I know the nature of being in a small town and, you know, one
and
university.
I think that's nonsense. Like, no, we've all asked these questions. I don't agree with the criticism. Old years, you could have gotten – you could have dealt with the criticism. You could have been more legitimate with it. Like, he's been asked every which way.
Yeah. But I was going to say the teleconference from the other day, it felt like finally, like, this is all kind of coming to a head of media members. Like, look, guys, like, it's our job to give people answers and ask these questions. And you're just trolling us. And you could kind of hear that in almost every question. I'm not calling anybody out or saying it was unprofessional, but you could hear some of that frustration in the voices of people asking questions. Like, dude, give us an answer, please.
Just something.
Like, we're here every day. We've known you for 6+ years. Like, give us something, you know?
I mean, quite literally, the perfect question everyone would have wanted to ask was asked. It was, hey, did your family members learn anything in their information gathering trips to Baton Rouge and Gainesville that could help in this decision-making process, which is more than fair?
Yeah.
And all he said was, I'm not talking about
it. I remember the other day I said, I wish I would have asked him what it is that he actually wants at the press conference after the Florida win. And I went, well, maybe he would have answered it, you know, dismissed it and trolled me. And someone asked a very similar question and he had absolutely nothing to say to it. So I don't even feel bad for not asking that question anymore.
At DRod774, I don't know why any team would feel comfortable hiring him if he decides to leave the number 5 team before the playoffs on his best coaching year ever. It just shows he hasn't changed like he says he has. And that, succinctly, I think, really explains why I think there's real momentum for him staying at Ole Miss right now. I've been very consistent in this. Like, I think he would have – I think he'd be gone if not for the timeline and coming out as the obvious asshole in this situation if he leaves. I mean, he's already – the knives are already out from national media who've been waiting on this. Paul Feinbaum, it's his Super Bowl. I mean, he's been waiting for this, man. And, you know, Dan Wetzel's been coming at him. Dan Wolkin's been a voice of reason, which is insane for me to say.
Which is wild because you gave him credit the other day. And I go back to the Ben Garrett, Dan Wolkin, you know, I wouldn't say it was a beef, but certainly during the whole Freeze saga, there was a lot going on there.
Yes, because you know, there's no love lost there. But, like, it's not personal. It's just like – you give credit where it's due. He's absolutely right. I mean, it's the whole meme. The worst guy you know just made the, you know, made a great point. But I like this. I saw it. Like, I've been reading a lot of other things too, and I wanted to give a lot of credit. I don't know this person particularly, but at Illogical Rebel on Twitter, and it's a point I think needs to be recognized. Kirby at Georgia took 6 seasons to win a national championship. Spurrier at Florida took 6 seasons to win a national championship. The GOAT, Nick Saban at LSU, took 4 seasons to win a national championship and 3 seasons to win a national championship at Alabama. Lane's in his sixth season. It takes this long to build up a blue chip, blue blood program. Sometimes I wish others would present these stats to other fans. And it's true. Like somebody said, he's staying not because he wants to. I don't disagree with that. Like I put that on my site last night. I said, like, the more and more I hear about this, Lane is going to Penn State, according to Javon Campbell, 6249, for $17.5 million a year. Maybe. Like, there's no outcome you could give me that I wouldn't go, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that
could happen.
Hey, Ben, well, he's leaving to go to LSU tomorrow, and he's taking Chris Kiffin with him as his DC, and Billy Glasscock and Austin Thomas is like the super super GM guys. Okay. Ben, he's decided he wants to go to Florida. Knox really wants to play his high school ball, you know, in the great state of Florida, and he finally – okay. He's staying at Ole Miss because he just doesn't want to be considered – like all the rehabilitation stuff he's done for 6 years, he doesn't want that to go to waste, all because he unprecedentedly left a playoff team in the middle of a playoff
race. You know how you always love to say you always say – and other people say it too, but, you know, I credit you because you're a wrestling guy. You always say everything in life is wrestling. It's just all wrestling. And yeah. That this is the – Lane Kiffin is the best example of that, of a former heel – who came up, you know, Lane Kiffin's, like, comparison in the WWE to me is like a Dolph Ziggler, you know? That's who I kind of liken him to, like, just the, you know, kind of seems like he's but he's slimy. You know, he seems like the hot commodity, quote-unquote. You know what I mean?
That is Dolph Ziggler is Dolph Ziggler actually won some hardware, you know?
Yeah, and Dolph Ziggler's a great guy, too. I'll give him credit.
I'm a tried and true Dolph Ziggler defender to the day I die. So like we could have that conversation another time. No one wants to hear this, but I will say, like, I was having trouble finding my comparison the other day too. So, yeah. And I was like, well, I can't remember who somebody, they compared him to like somebody who won a real national championship. And I was like, man, he's more like Ole Miss's The Miz. You know what I mean?
But the Miz is actually a great, yeah. That problem is a great comparison. Dude.
Problem is the Miz headlined WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The Miz beat John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
For as far as like more like a crow sting, that's really funny. Somebody in the chat at RCLMX15, more like crow sting. That's good. I like that. That was really funny. But like, yeah, like he's where he's always wanted to be in this, at the very center of attention. And he's never been hotter. This is his Tom Herman moment, man. Like, remember when Tom Herman was.
Yeah,
so for him, he's never been hotter. He's been trying to get this kind of attention every year. Let's be honest, Florida had multiple opportunities earlier in his career at Ole Miss to come get him, and he probably would have left, and he didn't. Now they're desperately trying to chase down LSU, put some public pressure on Lane through leaking an interview with John Sumrall, when John Sumrall is really only considering Auburn and Ole Miss right now. So it's just a mess.
But my point is, like, he starts out as a heel. Like, his career starts out as a heel, right? And he kind of plays that heel role. And then he sort of is now like, oh, you feel bad for him. He goes babyface. And his entire Ole Miss, you know, era is just babyface Lane. Loved by everyone. National media loves him. They make the documentary.
Yep.
And he's got a choice now, man. Because the way he's going out from Ole Miss, if he is actually leaving... The man
Which
is
today again. I think he's staying.
You think he's staying, but if he were to leave, the way he's going about it is the ultimate. Someone said Seth Rollins. It is Seth Rollins level heel work as far as the way he's trolling Ole Miss fans. The constant, the Trinidad flags on every tweet, the red and blue, the quotes he's posting. I mean, Ben, as a fan of wrestling, I would almost respect the heel turn because it is the slimiest, grimiest kind of like, I don't care what any of you think about me. You show up in your hometown and you stomp the whatever hat of the team that's from that hometown and you start making fun of everybody. Like, that's the level of heel turn this would be for Lane Kiffin if he were to leave. Because he's not just leaving. He's not just saying I'm out of here or after the Egg Bowl I'm leaving. It's the constant trolling on social media.
Yeah, he's not even consistent, honestly.
No,
I mean he's not because he signed an extension at FAU in season. He signed an extension at Ole Miss in season. Like, it's just a way for him to avoid having to answer questions about it when all the legitimate questions are, what are you going to do? Because it's not fair to any of these parties, frankly. I mean, LSU and Florida, mostly LSU now, for them, like, they're It's not their fault that the timeline is what it is. It's not Lane Kiffin's fault that the timeline is what it is. It's not Ole Miss's fault. And we can argue semantically about what you think an ultimatum is, but you know exactly where Ole Miss stands. You're not coaching the playoffs if you're leaving.
Yeah.
So,
There was no, like, I think ultimatum was a word that it sounds like it was almost made up by people through their sourcing. Like, I think it was more of a, we need to know, but was there actually an ultimatum? I don't think Ole Miss would give him an ultimatum because they can't force anything.
You can't contractually enforce that.
Right. Keith Carter's not stupid. He's not going to go to Lane and be like, if you don't tell us by this date, you're out of here. Well, you can't enforce that. So I think from what you know, ultimatum cannot be a word that was used by Ole Miss, right?
Right. Right. Like they would be cutting off their nose despite their face. You know what I mean? Like that's unenforceable. That's going to get you into some legal, contentious legal stuff. I mean, there's no one said, all right, here it is. You better tell us by next Saturday or else. No one did that. But what Ole Miss did express is, hey, we have to know something. This is what is happening. Why would he screw Ole Miss anyway? Why would Florida or LSU screw Ole Miss? All of these parties are just looking out for themselves individually, including Lane, Ole Miss, LSU, Florida. They're all looking out for themselves individually. They have to. They're individual walking businesses and economies. So I don't begrudge anyone for trying to do the best for their particular situation. Of course, LSU wants Lane Kiffin. If Penn State wants to pay Lane Kiffin $17.5 million, bully for you.
Listen, if you're Penn State, dude, you fire James Franklin to hire Lane Kiffin for $17.5 million. And by the way, this is posed by somebody in the chat. This is not real if you're just joining the stream. But that would be the most baffling thing. To me, dude, Eli Drinkwitz is almost a downgrade for Penn State than James Franklin. Got the job at Virginia Tech, by the way, since we recorded. He's now the new head coach of Virginia Tech, and he's going to be really freaking good at Virginia Tech, in my opinion. But that would be a mind-boggling move to fire James Franklin in the middle of the season and then pay Lane $17.5 million would be pretty crazy.
Insane, but also it shows you the inflated nature of what I say to start this whole cycle, man, there's going to be a lot of doubles sold as homers in this thing. You know what I mean? Like, the truth is the truth. Lane Kiffin lost 3 games with the best Ole Miss roster ever last year, inexplicably. His own pride and hubris is the reason why they started a fifth-string wide receiver at running back in the most important game of the year at Florida last year, and Micah Davis, who's now at Southern Miss. There are legitimate criticisms of Lane Kiffin, both the strategist, the CEO, the program overseer, and it's so silly to me, man. Like, he said it on the SEC teleconference. Well, you lose one game, you'll get fired. Dude, you lost 3 with Jackson Dart, Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, Chris Pooh, Paul, Trey Harris, Princely Umon Mielen. You did all of this. And Ole Miss didn't once say, get out of here. If you had done the same thing, but Florida had been on the helmet or LSU had been on the helmet, your ass would have been just like Brian Kelly this year. Billy Napier.
I was going to say, Brian Kelly's the best example of that.
So don't piss on Ole Miss fans' legs and tell them they've given you everything, man. Absolutely everything. So they have a legitimate right to say, we need to know something in a considerate amount of time because the timeline sucks for everybody, and he still refuses to do it. If anything, he has become more adversarial in not answering questions. Direct questions. Your family was in Baton Rouge and Gainesville. He didn't deny it. He just said, I'm not talking about it. That is the tell. That's because that's why I think Ole Miss more than anything, and it's not stuck at Ole Miss with a gun to his head, but it is stuck. Like, if you can do what you want to do, you can go to LSU right now. If you want to go, they want you. That is on the table for you. But regardless of how you leave, if you leave, there's no escaping it. You're the asshole.
Yep.
And he can't handle that because he doesn't understand it. It doesn't compute in his brain. What do you mean I'm the asshole? This is unprecedented. This is completely unprecedented. A playoff team having to deal with whether or not it's coaching and coaching the playoffs.
It's so asinine. Yeah. It's so asinine, Ben, that the national media members, we mentioned Dan Wolkin, the people that normally just their baseline is anything to do with Ole Miss, it's to
little
dismiss or make fun of or make light of or just whatever. You know, those people are coming to defend Ole Miss. Like, that's how much this is so insane that everyone's going, in the middle of a playoff run where your team is 10-1, you're literally causing this entire situation, the distraction. I mean, as per your report from Monday night, I mean, practice being, you know, I forget the exact terms you used, but I mean, clearly there was distractions.
I'm just told that the practice wasn't, I mean, it just wasn't what it needed to be, period. It wasn't what it needed to be.
A week before the biggest game of the season that will clinch you a playoff spot for the first time in school history, where Ole Miss will get to sniff a significant game in the postseason, not a bowl game, not the Sugar Bowl, something significant that you can build towards a championship. And your report is saying, oh, well, they weren't focused and practice wasn't good. I know it's the bye week, but I mean, come on, man. Like, that kind of stuff, I think national media is seeing and going, ugh. And you know, someone mentioned it on, I think, in the chat here. I can't remember who said it. It was earlier when the stream first started. They were saying, look, we've been on LSU's streams or message boards. We've been on Florida's message boards. They are just as annoyed as we are. And I have, too. I was curious, and I have an On3 subscription. I was like, let me go look at what the others are saying. Everybody is saying, do we even, like, there are not everybody. There are people in each of these boards going, do we even want this guy that he's dragging out this process this much? Imagine how Ole Miss feels, Florida fan or LSU fan. You think it's bad for you? Like, think of where Ole Miss is at right now. And
it's like the whole Bane line from The Dark Knight Rises. You know, you're
you like, really adopted the darkness. I was born into it.
I was molded by it. Yeah. Like, this is like, for Ole Miss, I think it's a something.
Which, by the way, quick sidebar, right? Ben just did an like awesome like accent. It wasn't quite Bane, but it sounded more like Peaky Blinders. So the other day you posted, before I go to choir practice, here's what I think on the spirit message boards. And people were like, Ben, you sing? boy, does he sing. Buddy, let me tell you, not only does he sing, this man's a great actor, too. I wish, are there any pictures, like, of you and Lion King last year that we could...
You're not Lion King, Tarzan the Musical.
Tarzan the Musical.
I put it on the board, the Ole Miss Spirit, and then you can go to Instagram and see it. Dude, it was, like, full-on dressed, dude. I played
Turk. Y'all, please.
Yeah. And you'll go, wait a second, Turk, wasn't that Rosie O'Donnell in the movie? Damn right.
That is hilarious.
Because the main fun about that was, like, is most of that part on the book is just improv. And I'm like, oh, I can do whatever the hell I want. And I did. And it was fun.
You went all out, dude. If you haven't seen this picture, either subscribe to the Ole Miss Spirit on $3 today or go to Instagram and find Ben.
My dad is the singer. My twin brother, who's playing Scrooge at Theater Memphis, he's been doing it for
years. You got a little something. You know what I mean? You got a little something from both.
They're the ones that got it, man.
Peyton, you grew up with Peyton and Cooper, but hey, Eli's a 2-time Super Bowl winner, Ben. Don't forget that.
Are you calling me the Eli of Garrett Singers?
I'm calling you the Eli of the Garrett family, man.
That is the stupidest thing, but I think it's great. but no, like, it. Yeah, I go, because, man, that's the thing, man. You serve where your feet are. And if stupid old Ginger Shrek wasn't around, man, our bass section at Hillcrest Baptist Church here in New Albany, man, we'd be having some slim pickings. So, you know, yeah, you do. You serve how you're supposed to serve. Of course, my stupid butt's supposed to be singing. Maybe you're supposed to be teaching Sunday school person watching this right now thinking, dang, if that idiot can go sing in a choir, yeah, of course, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, I my job is to not sit in my room and talk about Ole Miss all by myself and then, like, not engage with life. That's where God has taught me to really step up and get out and get going. But, yes, I was before choir. I put in my revised predictions, and I still stand by them today.
Yeah.
When do I get the invite for some cold beers and barbecue? Do you know of an event that I don't know about, RCLMX159? Because, like, I don't really cook barbecue. I'm not much. But the cold beer, now you're speaking my language.
I was going to say, I haven't even gotten an invite for that, and I've known this man since I was in high school, man. So,
Let the record show.
I've been to Ben's house one time. One time.
Now, whose fault is that? I want to hear that.
Dude, you got to invite people, bro. I'm not just going to show up to your house.
I'm still sticking by my revised predictions.
Okay.
For Lane Kiffin, it's Ole Miss. If it's not Ole Miss, I think it's LSU. Yeah. I think that Eric Morris, I put Eric Morris as the leader in the clubhouse for Arkansas. I put John Sumrall as leader in the clubhouse for Auburn. Drink, I think, will get one of LSU or Florida. I know Kenny Dillingham would absolutely run to Florida or Florida State.
I think he would cook at LSU, too.
Honestly. Oh, I do, too. Ryan Silverfield, whenever Eli Drinkwitz moves, I think Ryan Silverfield will emerge very, very quickly at Missouri. And so in that way, this stuff is always moving. DB Bruce 65, love it. You serve where you are. Absolutely. That's God intends, man. Just serve where you are. Like I'm serving right now. I'm evangelizing on Game Runs Deep. Tell you about God's sovereignty, that God is good, and he's good all the time, Sue. And all the time, God is good. While damn also right. saying, hey, Lane, Ole Miss needs to know something. Yep. Sooner rather than later.
Does this get done by tomorrow, Ben? Let me cut you off and just ask you straight up. Does this get done by Friday, November 21st? Will we know where Lane Kiffin's coaching next year?
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Man, I've been hearing it's going to happen tomorrow since Monday. So I don't know. I mean, nothing would surprise me anymore. Seriously, yeah. There's nothing that would surprise me. For 2.5 weeks, I had it on good authority. It was either the Ole Miss extension or Florida. Now Florida is on the back burner, and it's either the Ole Miss extension or LSU. What is the common denominator there? Ole Miss. What is the issue then? He doesn't want to be a dick. He doesn't want to like have all of his rehabilitations and babyface arc be ruined by a messy, messy exit. But even if he does come back to Ole Miss, a lot like whatever trust remain, and there's a lot of it, a lot more than you get anywhere else after the 2022 pursuit of Auburn, that trust is evaporated. It's not just eroded. It's gone. So there's going to be trust issues, at least as far as the big money movers in giving to a Lane Kiffin coached Ole Miss program because of how he's handled this. And he can say it's unfair, but, dude, you are given every opportunity to say anything better than I'm not going to talk about it, and you just avoided it. And so, I think that right now I'd probably put my money on Ole Miss, but those that are reporting about LSU, they're right. LSU is the main competition right now. I haven't heard much of Florida in the last 2 days, and Florida was the only one I was hearing about for the longest. So, and Florida fans ain't going to like that either, but buddy, y'all better get ready to speak Jed Fish. You know what I mean? Like,
Dan Mullen's old house, Ben, just got sold, and it's in Scott Strickland's neighborhood, bro. Come on.
Lane Kiffin to Gainesville. Even if it's not now, in 2 years, Lane Kiffin's going somewhere. And even if it's not right now.
I've said it's the league for a long time. I've maintained, if he doesn't leave Ole Miss this time, to me, it says NFL written all over it for Lane Kiffin.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, in 2 years, I believe he will move for another job period, regardless of whether he stays or not this year, because Layla will be gone out of Ole Miss. Knox will be going about his college career. I think he will not be Ole Miss's head coach in 3 years. But he could also not be Ole Miss's head coach in 3 months, because y'all think this is going to stop at Florida State when Florida State comes open? Florida State's going to – like the same stuff's going to pop up. The Giants, the Dolphins – the Giants connection is so obvious. He might not have wanted to make the leap back to the NFL, but after this whole nightmare for him, this whole self-created shit storm for him, he might have to.
Objectively speaking, a much easier job as a coach. Like, your day-to-day grind is so much easier than it is in college. You actually get, like, a vacation in the NFL. You don't have the transfer portal. You don't have to recruit. Like, it is if like we're talking about, you know, Landry's gone from Ole Miss, Knox is in college, he doesn't really have anything tying him down to Oxford, and he's been doing the college thing for such a long time, I think NFL just makes a lot of sense for somebody who's a pure football mind, who's an offensive genius, great with quarterbacks. Let other people handle your roster building and recruiting and all that kind of stuff. You just coach ball, and you get to go fish in the offseason.
You're not dealing with a normal person. I'm not knocking him. He's just the way he thinks is not normal in that way.
No doubt. I've known that for a while now.
Let's be real. This man, he's confused right now. He's wondering why can't I coach the playoffs and then go be the LSU head coach after that? Because that's not how any of this ever works.
And that's my other issue with there's some people, not most of national media, but there are some people I've listened to that have said, why wouldn't Ole Miss let him stay and coach the playoffs? Are you stupid? Like, do you know how the sport works? You are going to keep a man in your building that is going to an SEC rival potential in LSU and Florida. I mean, still an SEC team. You want to keep him in the building and let him continue to recruit your guys? There's already chatter.
Keep it up, man. You're practicing really well. You're going to look really good next year in purple.
What kind of loser mentality is that? Well, you're Ole Miss. You should just be happy you're here and just let him finish it out. His mind will not be that's the whole thing with Saban telling him to pack your bags and go to FAU was he knew his he wasn't fully focused on the task at hand. Yeah. Why in the hell would you think if he was going to be the next head coach of an SEC school that he would be focused on helping Ole Miss win a natty? Are you serious? His mind would be focused on the new program. And it's like this would be the exact same thing as bringing in a coach from another school into your building and saying, coach our team. Eli Drinkwitz while you're still at Missouri. Like, that's the level of logic that you guys, it makes no sense. You should let him stay regardless of what he's going to do.
No.
What? Do you know how that's like, it blows my mind, Ben. I don't even have the words for it because I cannot believe people, like, I feel like I'm living in an alternate reality when people suggest that Ole Miss should let Lane Kiffin stay regardless of if he's leaving or staying. What? Hey, Ben, you should let Neil come run the Spirit for a few weeks and just open up the operation, let him see your numbers. You know what I mean? We should let the CEO of Bank of America come run Wells Fargo. Like, what are we talking about here? You see how crazy that sounds? That's what people are suggesting by saying keep Lane and let. It makes no sense.
I wanted to make sure to get this in because I've forgotten the last handful of times. If you're looking for representation, a lawyer or someone really to back you up, defend you, you just need somebody to help you with whatever you're dealing with. I can tell you from my experience the last handful of months, there is no better place to use than Tannehill Carman, established in 2004, celebrating 20 years as Oxford's leading law firm. Go talk to my guy, Zach, Zachary Bonner. He'll take care of you, man. Like, they're awesome, and they're doing a lot of stuff for us at the Ole Miss Spirit and here at Talk of Champions. Game runs deep, so I want to give them a shout-out, man. Tannehill and Carman, they've just been great friends to me. Also, again, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. Call him today for your healthcare stuff, health insurance stuff. Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. And B&A Bank, branches in New Albany and Tupelo, man. If you're like me, I never grew up, or maybe you're just dumb as shit when it comes to financial responsibility. You need some friends to tell you, hey, don't do that, or hey, do this. And that's what Bank of New Albany has been for me. So I want to say thank you to all those people, man, before we keep going here.
Yeah, so we got maybe roughly about 20 minutes here. Ben, I wanted to bring up coaching.
Not because of Ben today.
It's because of me. It is 100%.
He told me I have a hard out today. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is how life rolls today.
James McDonald, 1987. Technically, the Egg Bowl ends the regular season. So then an answer, yeah.
You would hope so. You would hope before that.
Yeah.
Now, if Lane were to leave, Ben, we gave out a bunch of candidates the other day, one of which
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I got one question for you. You answer this.
Okay.
At Hoka Knight 21, if Trinidad were shopping 2 to 3 schools right now, and it was known, despite him just saying, I don't know, but I love Ole Miss, what would Lane do or think in that boat? He wouldn't let it continue. Absolutely correct.
100%.
He would say, also, we're getting Austin Simmons ready to start the Egg Bowl.
100%. The hypocrisy, the rules don't apply to him. That's just how he operates, in my opinion. Okay, so if Lane leaves, right, we mentioned the other day Dan Mullen, right, and that really sets some people off. I had people personally text me, be like, what is wrong with you? Ultimately, Ben, you know what I did with every single one of those people? I sent in my points, and they ultimately agreed with me that, yes, he is a great coach, he'd be pretty good, but they just couldn't let the hate go, which
never
is totally understandable. And it's not going to happen. Dan Mullen's not.
We made that clear, and even like people were still going, Ben, you idiot. I'm like, guys. I'm just telling you, it would be a masterstroke of
it would work. It would work is what we're saying. Now, we mentioned, obviously, Summerall is a lead candidate and some other people. The one name that we have not mentioned who national media isn't bringing up enough, and I didn't really think about it. It's a guy that I know I've covered, been familiar with, until I spoke to a buddy of mine in Georgia, and he said, hey, what about Buster Faulkner, the offensive coordinator for Georgia Tech? And I immediately went, yeah, what about Buster Faulkner? Why are people not talking about Buster Faulkner? This guy is paid $1.5 million to be Georgia Tech's offensive coordinator. Georgia Tech is paying their OC $1.5 million.
Hey, speaking of Florida, Brent Key's still very much involved.
He ain't leaving. I'm convinced Brent Key. He is a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket through and through, and I think he's got a legitimate shot at getting in the playoff this year if they can win the ACC. They get in the ACC championship game and win. And he wants to build Georgia Tech in the way Kirby built Georgia as an alum and make it, you know, I mean, I don't think it'll be Georgia, but I mean, they're competitive in an ACC we've talked about. That's pretty weak. But to me, the case for Buster is pretty insane because he was a part of those national championship teams with Stetson Bennett at Georgia. He was an analyst. But if you hear some of these interviews Stetson Bennett did back when all this was going on, a lot of the credit he gives to Buster Faulkner. Now, Todd Monken was the OC at the time, but Buster got a lot of the credit. And there are some people who think that if Buster didn't go to Georgia Tech and Kirby didn't have that connection with Bobo, he would have been the OC at Georgia right now. You watch what he did a year ago with Haynes King against Georgia. I think they gave up, Georgia's defense gave up 570 plus yards, which is the most in the Kirby Smart era. And then you look at what he's doing this year. I don't know how many of y'all watch Georgia Tech football. I don't imagine a lot of you because most of you
are
probably Ole Miss people.
What are you pitching him for? Like head coaching jobs?
I think he's a legitimate candidate.
Yeah,
brother.
Let Alex Golish get Arkansas, or he'd like be the second or third option after.
I think we should be looking at Buster Faulkner as more than just a G6 candidate.
I don't disagree, but like,
and if you're Ole Miss and you want dynamic offensive lines,
Ole Miss is not hiring Georgia Tech's offensive coordinator.
Listen, see, this is the mindset that is keeping Buster Faulkner's name out of the national media. I'm not saying they are going to hire him, but what I'm saying is the fact that his name has not even come up.
Because it's not his turn yet.
Pretty mind-boggling. But why, though, Ben? Why isn't it his turn? I mean, what about his game, his schemes would not translate
to
the SEC?
I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I'm just saying he's skipping steps. Alex
Golish. What steps is he skipping?
Go be a head coach at G6. Why is nobody mentioning Clark Lee at
Vanderbilt? Because Clark Lee, I'll give you my point on Clark Lee. I think Clark Lee is very much a merchant of what Jerry Kill and his guys are doing coming in from New Mexico State. I'm not saying Clark Lee's not a good coach. I think he is a CEO, an ultimate CEO and program builder. And that's where I credit him, is he was able to go to New Mexico State, bring in Jerry Kill, the offensive coordinator there, I can't remember Vandy's OC's name right now, and then Diego Pavia. And that's when you saw that trajectory of that team completely shift. I would love to see Clark Lee do it on his own, but I can't seriously sit here and, like you mentioned Clark Lee, like Ole Miss should interview him. No,
dude, I can tell you he would be a top five option for Ole Miss.
That would be awesome. But like, once again, what does Clark Lee do specifically?
RCL at Miss 159. Key is at his alma mater. Lee is at his alma mater too. We know that.
Yeah.
And we're telling you it doesn't matter.
Lee could leave.
He's absolutely involved at Florida.
Lee could leave. Brent Key, I find it hard this cycle to think he would leave.
But he's entertaining it, is all I'm saying. Like he's entertaining. Just because you say, like, he's got a better PR guy than Lane. That's what we really learned through all this. Like, Lane's his own PR person, and he really needs to hire somebody. Because Brent Key said, cut me open and you can see what colors I bleed. Yeah. That's also a non-commitment. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't answer nothing, right? I wanted to touch on something. Somebody asked, let me find this. William Wells, 5157. Well, I lost him. They mentioned on SEC Unfiltered that there is a rumored $40 million NIL meeting with Carter and Kiffin tomorrow. Have y'all heard that? I haven't heard that. I do know that Ole Miss has been having active conversations with Lane and everyone else about the NIL situation at Ole Miss specifically, and Ole Miss has been taking steps to ensure it's in, or to make sure that its NIL situation or its NIL operation is exactly where it needs to be, regardless of what Lane Kiffin does. Like, he's not going to take their spreadsheet with him, if that makes sense. But here's something that got leaked yesterday from Tom Mars, and we all remember Tom Mars. Tom Mars was the ambulance chaser who came after Ole Miss in the NCAA investigative stuff. But this is obviously leaked by somebody that wants it out there. Interesting Lane Kiffin trivia in ESPN story. Per Kiffin's initial 2020 contract, Ole Miss can fire or reassign him to other duties if he fails to give prior written notice to the AD that he is seeking or considering employment by another school. That was upheld in 2022, and that's still a part of his contract. So people have been wondering, well, what can Ole Miss do, really, right? If he sails past not the ultimatum deadline, but whatever the deadline is, if he just sails past it, then what? Well, now you understand. Are they really going to challenge him for a breach? Well, yeah, if he's leaving to go somewhere else, they're going to try to make LSU or Florida pay the buyout. It could get a lot messier, and it's already messy, right? It's already messy. And when you see stuff like that, it reinforces what we've been saying here. What do we really know about Lane Kiffin, his whole situation? As of today, Thursday, November 20th, 2025, at Clutch_CamTV, heard a big donor in Texas just dropped an NIL bag. I can tell you, I can't speak for this person. I don't know who this was. But, like, yes, NIL funding has been surging because Ole Miss fans are pissed. And but unlike Auburn, it's like, stay or don't, Ole Miss is going to keep going on. So, yes, you don't have to worry about Ole Miss taking care of itself. Like, that's one thing I understand legitimate criticism of. Like, typically in old years, in the old days, you'd worry about Ole Miss just biffing the hell out of it.
This should be crippling for Ole Miss in the old days.
Keith went on the offensive. He leaked that intentionally about the trips. It was Keith. He leaked that. And, you know, and good for him, man, going on the offensive because Ole Miss does have agency. And I don't think Lane Kiffin was anticipating that. I don't think he was anticipating being put in an disadvantageous position, if that makes sense. So is there a huge package claiming I heard of? I don't know. I don't know if there is. I'm just telling you they've surged. I've talked to Walker Jones. I've talked to this.
What we know is individual donations have gone up, right, Ben? Yeah, and the big money boosters are also a part of that.
Yeah, so. I can't specify. But what could Ole Miss do? Could they really hold him to a drop-dead deadline? Contractually, yes, because it's in his contract, unless he was given true written consent. Like, those Baton Rouge trips and Gainesville trips, that's different than Auburn in 2022. Did he get written permission from Keith Carter to send Layla and Angela down there? He might say they were just going on some vanity trips. I think that would be really hard to stand up in contract law. There's a lot going on. And
obviously, I'm sure most people that are watching this are caught up, but I mean, you know, Knox meeting with who could be his potential new high school coach. And that, I mean, you know, like it's the information is out there. It may be, you know.
Well, and that's the thing, man. Like, when I had one Ole Miss higher up say straight up, like, dude, the best thing Ole Miss can do and Oxford High School can do is just keep winning. I don't think Lane Kiffin was anticipating little Ole Miss in 2025 and what he said multiple times was supposed to be a rebuild year. He's making a lot of, like, he used to not say that stuff. You know, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say, well, we're bigger than we've ever been, but also this is supposed to be a rebuilding year. It's like you're just trying to say this is all Lane Kiffin and we should be thankful here. The bottom line is Ole Miss believes that it has had just as much, if not more so, to do with your success, especially over the last 3 years. It's not going to wait around. Like, they believe Ole Miss and the brand. The opportunity is too important this year for Ole Miss. If they win a national championship, and regardless of what you think about their championship bona fides, this is a team that's going to be in the race for the title if they beat State. There's no guarantee that they beat State. State, when you play the Egg Bowl, throw the records out. Even last year when Ole Miss should have blown the brakes off of State, State made it really, really uncomfortable. Now it's at their place. And it's always hard to play in Starkville. Starkville is just, especially for Ole Miss. So this is not a layup. And if Ole Miss goes 10-2 with a loss to State, you're going from hosting a playoff game to traveling for the playoffs at best. to open the round. And then you're getting articles from Chris Lowe saying, hey, there's precedent from because we don't do this based off of a uniform criteria. It's just stuffy old men in suits. They could say, well, they lost Lane Kiffin like they did with Florida State losing their quarterback and just leave him out. Do I think that would happen? No. But like there are real-world considerations for this, and this is too big of an opportunity for Ole Miss. Because if you win a national championship, regardless if you think of their national championship bona fides, that you're set. You're set. Like, you are in the conversation. Like, you are in the conversation for all time. I've heard about some NIL giving, guys. I haven't heard about the monster that y'all are hearing. I couldn't verify it if I wanted to. But whether he argues semantically about ultimatums or not, this is coming to a head, and I would be surprised if it's not this week. And in that respect, like today, this morning, after posting that on the Spirit, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, 513, and talking to you guys again, I'm sticking by my current prediction, which is Ole Miss. Do I feel great about it? Nope. If he signed on with LSU tomorrow, would that surprise me? Hell no. Nope. No chance. If he did sign on tomorrow, that would actually be of the benefit to Ole Miss, because then you just promote Joe Judge or Pete Golding, hire John Sumrall to take over after he leads Tulane through a playoff appearance potentially, and then he takes over. And like that way you can keep some uniformity, because Pete Golding would still be here. Brian Brown probably still be here. Jake Schoonover. I'm trying to think of other guys that I was told. But John Garrison, who's had a great year. Like there would be some uniformity, but at least then you'd have not this – this is unnecessary self-saboteur like cloud that is hanging over a 10-1 team, and it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Insane.
Ridiculous.
Right, Ben,
and like tell us something, and I think Lane finally has figured out, oh, they've got my nuts in a vise a little bit on this. They kind of either overplayed my hand or they outmaneuvered me, and he's lost control of the narrative, and that's something that he was not anticipating.
And that teleconference yesterday was a great example of that. Okay, we got 5 minutes here, Benny. Two things I want to touch on. One, the Heisman Trophy race. I think I know where you stand on that. Big Fernando Mendoza guy. I think he's clearly had the best Heisman moment. But I don't even want to talk about who's going to win the Heisman, Ben, because I think all of us right now know it's between Mendoza and probably Julian Sand. I want to talk about the guys that deserve an invite to New York. Okay,
Keelan Lacey.
Two, yes, thank you. There's two guys in particular that aren't getting that love. One, Keelan Lacey, of course, and two, Haynes King. These two guys absolutely deserve an invite to frickin' New York. The fact that King's name comes up from time to time, and it should. I mean, he is entirely Georgia Tech's team. That's where Buster Faulkner comes in, buddy, who I just learned today you have no respect for. Just give it a couple years, Ben. When he's cooking, you're going to be like, damn it, you were right.
I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
No. You were dismissing my dog, Faulkner, Ben. You think because he's coach at Georgia Tech that Buster Faulkner isn't a good OC. That's what you're saying, Ben. At Buster Faulkner, Spirit Ben thinks you're trash, thinks you're a bum.
That's not true. At Do Right, Tyler Jordan's rhetoric, Tyler Jordan from Realtree, has softened and no one's paying attention to it. Yes, we are. But also, Lane Kiffin directly reached out to Tyler when he got one over. I started like trolling him back. And he was like, why are you doing this? That's where Lane is. Like, what are y'all doing? I don't understand. Dude, you created the whole mess. But I want to touch on one more thing. Brandon Tyler on the SEC Unfiltered Nightly Show last night, Chris Phillips reported that there was a $40 million commitment from Ole Miss that will be offered to Lane on Friday. Have not heard that. Could very well be true. But see, I'm one of those people, I'm not going to pretend like I know everything.
Who is SEC Unfiltered? I think I've seen their videos.
It's a podcast. It's a real good podcast, okay. Man. I think I've
seen their clips on TikTok. Yeah, I just don't know their connections to Ole
Miss. I can't speak to the veracity of that report is what I'm saying. Yeah. But I do, like, but I only feel comfortable telling you what I think I know. And what I know is that, Ole Miss has solidified its position. Like, Ole Miss is playing from a position of strength that it otherwise honestly doesn't really have.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of leverage. Now, there is some contractual stuff like the Tom Maher stuff that could allow them to get him for breach, and then that would lead to like an LSU or Florida plant paying the buyout and that and all that kind of stuff. Like there's stuff like that. But honestly, there's still like they've created a position of semi-decent enough strength to at least force Lane Kiffin into an awkward situation. But at the end of the day, he still has all the leverage because that's what this sport is allowed to happen. Matt Moscona said Sexton, Saban, and Kirby pushing Lane to LSU. It wouldn't surprise me. If Ole Miss were a person, Dr. Phil would walk up, grab us by the shoulders, and say, get a grip, friend. This is not normal behavior. Yeah, but like It's no one's fault but Lane's. What are we talking about? No, okay, I'm sorry. But yes, Keewon Lane should be in the conversation.
Keewon should be in New York at 19 touchdowns. There's just no doubt in my
mind.
Move
over Crenshaw, Judkins, Keewon Lacy.
Everyone loves to talk about Jeremiah Love. Yeah, I mean, breaking Quinshon's record, he's going to have over 20 touchdowns by the time the season's over.
Yep.
He has single-handedly been the catalyst for Ole Miss's offense. I love everything Trinidad has done for Ole Miss, but if you did not have Keewon Lacy in that backfield, you would be looking at a situation very similar to a year ago. I know Trinidad's probably a little quicker than Dart as far as scrambling and getting away from pressure and running and stuff, but he would be in the same situation. Keewon Lacy's without a doubt the MVP of the Ole Miss football team this year, and he should 100% be invited to New York. Same with Haynes King, who was single-handedly made Georgia Tech good alongside his very talented offensive coordinator, Buster Faulkner, who deserves a head coaching job, a big-time head coaching job. All right, 2 minutes, Ben, before we go. You look at the college football playoff rankings that just came out. I do think Texas Tech is a very dangerous team in the postseason. They have an awesome offense. I don't necessarily agree with them being ranked above Ole Miss. I think when you put up a SEC schedule side by side to what Texas Tech is playing within the Big 12, didn't make a lot of sense. But ultimately, Ben, when I look at that top 12 and I look at all those matchups, it's a lot of fun to be like this team and that team. But dude, as we sit here today, to me, there's two teams that stand above the rest. It is Ohio State and it is Georgia. Georgia, no matter how much you think they're gone, it's over, they just keep finding ways to look dominant and getting better. Ohio State has not.
Oh, Georgia. Sudu's just been waiting. Just been waiting, man.
Dude, Ohio State hasn't flinched one bit all season. Georgia, we've seen moments of weakness, but God bless, man. When they finally hit that, Kirby's now just talking his shit. You know, like he's out here you know, from the onside kick the other day to just all the shit talking he's been doing, dude. This is not the Kirby Smart you want if you're an opposing team. Like, this is not where you want him to be, because it's scary.
Are you done? And as we sit,
as we sit here today, and you tell me, you could say Indiana, you can make the case for Indiana, but man, if we're looking at who's going to win the national title, like outright, like there's no question. Where to me, Ohio State and Georgia are my two teams right now, dude. And outside of that, it's just the rest. After that, I mean, they're in a class of their own at the moment. I think now you know who could beat Georgia and completely shatter this is Buster Faulkner and Haynes King, Ben.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ole Miss, because Ole Miss has only lost this season. It's only a red mark on its resume is a single digit loss.
Well, Ole Miss would need to be in the SEC title game, which we need A&M to lose to Texas, and then Auburn to beat.
You need
Bama.
A&M to lose and Alabama to lose, because Alabama's. Yeah. But like Alabama dropping to 10 is absolutely absurd. And that's
DJ Durkin's getting that job, Ben. And he's going to win the Iron Bowl, and he's going to be the next head coach of the Auburn Tigers.
I will say, I talked to somebody. Dirk is a favorite for that job. There's no doubt about it. He is a favorite for that job. He just got to win. But I've been saying that he's not going to win it.
Oh, God, please, Auburn, please hire DJ Dirk. And like, I think he's a great defensive mind. Don't get me wrong.
The problem for Auburn has not been defense this year. They were top 15, and then Dirk tries to call his own defense as head coach and can't do that in the year of our Lord 2025. But the reason why Auburn was bad is because Hugh Freeze, the offensive guru, his offense was atrocious, and this defense was good. So there's a real groundswell support for Dirk. I'm telling you, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's not going to win enough. If he wins the Iron Bowl, though, that makes it even more real, especially if there's not resolution with Lane Kiffin or John Sumrall. But I think John Sumrall has handled this better than anybody, because he's made no bones about it. He's considering moving. He's also said, like, dude, at the end of the day, I'm focused on Tulane and winning this year. And that's all Lane had to say, and he avoided it. So I'm sticking with my predictions currently. I have no reason to change them. I fully expect you to call me after this post and say, well, this happened, so that's – you want to do a third one? Because all that is old, too.
I texted Ben yesterday. I said, Benny, all of the stuff we talked about on the pod Monday, I can't clip any of this for social media. Like, it's all outdated information at this point. Mm-hmm. God forbid I posted the clip of Ben saying it's Florida and no one else, and LSU fans lost their minds because information changed so quick. And so
that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
This was
because, like, I fully admit, like, I'm just trying to tell you what I know at the time that you hear me talking. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't talk about this 24 hours a day, even though that's quite literally what I feel like I'm doing all day, every day. Yeah. If I go to the soccer field, if I go to choir practice, hey, what
I mean,
hear?
I call Ben to get on the pod. He's on the phone with an SEC assistant. Like, it's like I can't I can't even talk to the guy because he's – if the camera's not on, he's on the phone with somebody.
No,
so.
That's not that serious. These are all
no,
good
it's like, that serious.
God is good, man. These are the problems I deal with. Awesome. Like, thank you for answering a prayer. Go to choir practice, and before I do, I'll drop my predictions, and I'm holding by them today as we wrap up. I say, if you made me guess today, Lane Kiffin staying at Ole Miss, Drinks going to LSU or Florida, Ryan Silverfield to Missouri, Eric Morris to Arkansas, and John Sumrall to Ole Miss. I mean, to Auburn. But
Morris to Arkansas, and he takes Mestemaker or whatever with him, right?
Yes, because that's exactly what I heard. Like, pull the whole John Mateer deal.
Yeah, like, that would be nasty.
That's pretty salty. Like, yep. And I like Eric Morris. I really do. I think Eric Morris, I think that Arkansas is a really hard job right now.
Yep.
But if he can pull that double dip, dude, Arkansas, that's as good as they can do.
They're going to be cooking. All right, we got to run. I got to run, actually. I'm not even going to put this on Ben. But thank you all so much for tuning in for another episode of Game Runs Deep. You know, maybe we'll move to two episodes if the Lane Kiffin saga continues. We'll do two a week. But just thanks to everybody that joined the chat. Sorry if we didn't get to answer all the questions. Drew Bouffard, appreciate you for joining, buddy. For Benny, I'm Sudu. Make sure you follow him at Spirit Ben, Ole Miss Spirit on 3, where you can get the best information on this Lane Kiffin sweepstakes. Benjamin, I'll see you later, man. I'm sure we'll be chatting about this until it's resolved.
We will, and get Keywan to New York. Hashtag key to NYC.
Let's get it, baby. All right, see you guys. Thanks for joining.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.